Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. So thanks for joining us on this edition of Eagles on the Hill. Today, we're going to do some traveling. Because if it weren't for the war in Israel right now, well, it's not actually in Israel. It's between Israel and Gaza, between Israel and Hamas. But if it wasn't for the war, we'd be over there right now in Israel. And I think today, about today, would be the day that we would be in Capernaum. And so I thought, what better way to sadly remember this day? What better way to celebrate this day with you than to go to Capernaum together? Virtually, as best we can, to tell you a little bit about what we find in Capernaum. Capernaum is the city that Jesus made his home base for two of his 3 years of public ministry. And so a lot of Bible stories, a lot of stories from the Gospels happened in Capernaum. So let's see what we can learn about Capernaum together. And hopefully it's a blessing to you and strengthens you and encourages you in your faith. Capernaum is a fishing village, perhaps the largest fishing village on the Sea of Galilee. It's in the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. And so a lot of the accounts of Jesus, where he called his first disciples, for instance, James and John and Peter and Andrew, all happened in Capernaum. Jesus called Matthew the tax collector in Capernaum because, as you take a look at this map, when people traveled from the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee over to the western side, where Capernaum is, just across the Jordan River there as it dumps into the Sea of Galilee from the north, when people went from one side to the other, they had to pay taxes. And so Capernaum is basically the first large fishing village you get to on that northwestern side of the Sea of Galilee. So Matthew the tax collector was there and collected taxes, and Jesus went along and collected Matthew and called him to follow him. And that is it's just portrayed just fantastically, if that's a word, in the series The Chosen. So I love that scene from the Chosen. I think it's the first season or second season of The Chosen there, where Jesus, I think it's the first season where Jesus calls Matthew. So fabulous scene there from The Chosen. So let's take a look at what we find in Capernaum. First of all, this picture here, if you're watching on YouTube, will give you a sense of the size of Capernaum in the New Testament times. Fishing village, pretty significant, as we said, on that northwestern shore. And so this gives you an idea of what kind of the housing might have looked like. It's an artist rendering a little bit of what the port might have looked like, so you get a sense of what they found. And some of this is based on some of the footings that they found in the Sea of Galilee, as well as we'll see in a moment, some of the things that have been dug out as they've gone through archaeologically to dig out at least a part of the village of Capernaum from that first century. So this is what Capernaum, at least the part they've dug out, they've kind of dug down to the first century ruins from the air. This is what Capernaum looks like. It's the Franciscan side today. Capernaum is divided into the Franciscan side and the Greek Orthodox side. And the Greek Orthodox side has not been excavated, but the Franciscan side has been. And some amazing, amazing finds there on the Franciscan side. So if you're looking at the picture, you see kind of three prominent buildings. The one to the middle of the picture is a modern building. And then the one to the kind of the bottom part of the picture is a synagogue, a 4th or 5th century Byzantine synagogue that's been discovered and kind of put back together a little bit so you get a sense of what it looked like. Now, that synagogue sits right on top of a 1st century synagogue, which would be the 1st century synagogue that where Jesus worshiped and where Jesus went to teach and where Jesus did so many of his miracles in that synagogue. We'll talk about some of those in a moment. Just to the kind of left, not really top left, but upper side of that picture is a flying saucer sitting there. What is the flying saucer? Well, the flying saucer is a church that's been built, kind of suspended in the air over some ruins. And so let's go take a look at both the synagogue and the ruins underneath of that flying saucer church and see what we find there. Let's take a look. So this is a picture from the air of the kind of recreated, because it had all fallen down in an earthquake, but it's the original material, but recreated, set back up again, so we can kind of see what it looks like. Synagogue from the Byzantine era. It is a very expensive synagogue. So again, 4th, 5th century. But underneath this is a synagogue that was made from basalt stone. Basalt stone is the natural stone from that area. What you're seeing here in the picture, if you're looking at the YouTube version, is a limestone synagogue. That limestone does not come from the area, so it's very expensive to build that 4th or 5th century synagogue. Underneath there, the basalt synagogue would have been the synagogue of Jesus, and that same footprint, much less lavish, that's for sure. So question is, why would the Jews have built in the 4th century, spent so much money, somebody spent a lot of money and a lot of time building this 4th or 5th century synagogue? Well, here's the potential reason why, is that Christians had built a significant church just towards the water, just towards the Sea of Galilee from the synagogue. And so a kind of competition, if you will, between the Christian church that had been built there in Byzantine era and then this Jewish synagogue built in the Byzantine era. Let's take a look, and I'll show you in a second here. This is the excavation down past that 4th century church, and it shows you kind of as they excavated down to the 1st century what they found. And what they found is, in the middle, underneath of this 4th century church, Byzantine church, different than the Byzantine synagogue, okay? So this is underneath that flying saucer today, is the home of Simon Peter. Now, how do we know that? Well, we don't know 100%, but I'll give it a 95% chance that this was the home of Simon Peter when Jesus was in Capernaum, which means Jesus was here. This footprint, he was there. Even if it wasn't Simon Peter's home, he was there for 2 years in and out of these homes. So Jesus was most certainly there. When you walk around Capernaum, you're walking in his footsteps. But let's take a look, just a short video from Sergio and Rhoda, two of my favorite people, married couple, an Arab and a Jew, married amazingly, both Christian. Now, followers of Jesus, very unique marriage. We talked about that before on the podcast. But anyway, Rhoda here explains to us why we believe that this is the home of Simon Peter. Let's take a look.
Every visitor who comes here is told that this is the house of Peter. How do we know for sure? We know that this was a famous fishing village. We know that it was a central place. We know Jesus came and preached here from the Gospels. But how do we know this is the exact place of Peter's house, in fact? When they started excavating this place, they actually found walls that belonged to the 1st century, to the times of Jesus. And they also found that these walls have been turned into a church. So it was a house that was turned into a church later. Now, during the excavations, they found hundreds of graffitis on the walls dedicated to the Lord. And some even say they found the name of Peter as well. So based on all these findings and all this information, we come to the conclusion that this is the house of Peter.
All right, so there you have it, direct from Rhoda. As Sergio and Rhoda have a lot of videos on YouTube, recommend you check them out if you're interested in touring around Israel. They go to a lot of common places and a lot of uncommon places to be able to teach you what's there in Israel. But based on the findings on the walls of this first century home, that's why we believe this is the house of Peter. So just an amazing find there in Capernaum. So again, check out how close, and you really can't necessarily tell from this shot from the air, but how close this house of Simon Peter was, which then was built into a Byzantine church, how close that was next to the Byzantine synagogue. It's, I would say it takes probably 30 seconds, 45 seconds to walk between those two things. So they're extremely close together. Let's take a look from Scripture at what happens in those places. I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 31. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people, of course, in the synagogue. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly, "come out of him." The demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him, and all the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." So, let's take a look here at that scripture. They were first amazed at his teaching. Why? Because when he taught them, when Jesus taught them, he didn't quote other teachers. When Jesus taught them, he simply said, "This is what God says. I'm telling you what God says," rather than "I'm quoting this rabbi and this rabbi and that rabbi and this rabbi." He simply taught with his own authority. And so they say they were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. Then this demon-possessed person is there, and Jesus says very simply to him, "Be quiet, come out of him." And the demon threw the man down and came out, and the people were amazed. Now, the context of this is that there were others in that culture who cast out demons or who claimed to be able to cast out demons. And we know this because we found amulets from around that time period and a little bit later, which deal with how these other people were casting out or trying to cast out demons. And there's these long incantations that are gone through, you know, line after line after line after line, trying to get these demons to come out. And of course, the people realized often that they were unsuccessful. Jesus simply says two words. He says, "Shekababakasa tseakutsa," which were simple words that every Jewish mother and father knew. They said to their children all the time, "Be quiet, get out of here." And of course, their children sometimes obeyed, sometimes didn't obey. But those words didn't have power. They were simply words. Shekababakasha tseakutsa. But when Jesus spoke those words, unlike their children, the people saw that this demon obeyed Jesus. Those words had power coming from Jesus' mouth. So we don't kind of get the context of that because we're not Jewish moms and dads of that era. But the idea being, those were simple words that they spoke to their kids every day, and their kids kind of ignored them half the time. But these demons did not ignore Jesus. They obeyed, and that's why the people reacted the way they did. The people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." So now you get the context of that. What happens right after that? Luke chapter 4, verse 37. The news about Jesus spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue. We've just seen a picture of that. Well, the 4th century synagogue, but it's built on top of the 1st century synagogue. He left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Well, you can walk. It's like 45 seconds away. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she got up at once and began to wait on him. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, the demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. Well, when you go to Capernaum and you sit and take a look and you sit in that synagogue and then you walk over to the home of Peter, and then you read those scriptures, you simply can never read them the same way again, because now you've walked from the synagogue to the home of Simon Peter. Those kind of experiences happen all over Israel as you go to tour Israel, as you go on a pilgrimage. If you ever get a chance to go on a pilgrimage to Israel, take it. Particularly, be careful, though, that you take it with a person who's experienced as a host, with a person who knows Scripture well, and whose goal it is, when you get there, to open the scriptures to you as you tour around Israel, because there's a variety of kinds of tours of Israel. You can have an art tour. You can have a tour that focuses on the Palestinian and Israeli issues of modern day. You can have all kinds of different tours. So make sure the one you take, the pilgrimage you take, is one where the host is going to open scripture to you and take you on a tour of the footsteps of Jesus, where you get to walk in these amazing, amazing places. Well, that's Capernaum for you. Hopefully you've enjoyed your virtual tour of Capernaum. Hopefully someday you'll get to actually go and walk in those steps. It's an amazing, life-changing experience. You never read scripture. You never relate to Jesus the same way again. Thanks for listening to us at Eagles on the Hill. We encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Check out when our next tours of Israel, pilgrimages of Israel, will be, and join us for one of those if you'd like. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.